to CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we're very pleased to be welcoming Professor Evan Ellis, a Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, to comment on the level and passion of engagement by the People's Republic of China in Latin America, the South American continent, the Central American subcontinent, and the Caribbean basin. Professor, in general, there is talk in Eurasia, in the World Island, that the initiative called Belt and Road is running into some hard times because the Chinese are not able to provide an endless source of cash. In fact, some of their loans are being called or are in dispute with the countries where dams or rivers or bridges or roadways or pipelines are proposed to be built. Is there a general understanding of the level of Chinese engagement in Latin America? Is it standard, or are there changes underway? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. The Chinese engagement in Latin America, the latest figures suggest about $172 billion in the past 15 years and opposed to expand more significantly during probably the coming year or two. In general, since Panama joined the Belt and Road Initiative in 2018, formalizing kind of the inclusion of Latin America in that space, you have 21 Latin American countries in Belt and Road, although it's really not clear what China's obligation is, nor is it clear what obligations Latin American countries have signing up for Belt and Road, other than the idea of plugging themselves into the Chinese money machine. There have been a lot of problems and difficulties. Numerous different road projects, even in places like Bolivia, have been canceled. Although in other places, despite problems, for example, the Martu project connecting Medellin to the Gulf of Urabá was mirrored in problems, but it went forward. In general, the Chinese are getting better with the projects. Some work, others don't. Oftentimes, when you have difficulties in governance, that's when you have the greatest problems. Some of the problems in Latin America have really hit Chinese companies extra hard. For example, some of the difficulties in with miners in Peru, the Las Bambas problem has the Peruvians have been affected. The Zijin gold mine that China has in Antioquia, Bertica in Colombia has had problems, reflecting the problems of criminality there. So the Chinese oftentimes have had some of the same problems in Latin America that other companies have had, but have been a little bit worse in managing those problems. But they are learning, and they're putting a lot of money in.
Gordon, you have a question for the professor.
Evan, my sense is that China has focused on ports in Latin America, as it has elsewhere, and it has something like 40 port projects. One of them has attracted quite a lot of interest recently, and that is Chanque in Peru, which could end up being a $3 billion investment. Some people say that this could redirect trade along the southern Pacific. If you could comment whether Chanque is indeed that important.
Well, Chanque is slated to come on probably in early 2024, and indeed, it could become one of the most important ports on the Pacific coast of South America. One of the issues is that although Peru, the government would have some public management, it's supposed to be an open port to all, and yet there's some questions of whether the management by the Chinese consortium involved would privilege the Chinese mines and other Chinese companies that are building it. There are other questions also that whether Southcom Commander General Laura Richardson has called the dual use nature of many Chinese projects. In other words, if we ever found ourselves in a war with China, whether just as Chinese naval warships put into the port of Hambantota in Sri Lanka, which they operate, similarly other ports like Chanque could be used in time of conflict. So there are definitely concerns about Chanque as that comes on in the next year and a half or so.
Professor, a recent article in the Miami Herald points to an irony that may or may not be accurate, that the Chinese engagement with Latin America is encouraging Washington to respond to Latin America in a fresh way, to engage with Latin America. The criticism is mentioned in the article that President López Obrador of Mexico is disheartened by the way that Washington treats all of the troubles and all of the different cultures in Latin America. So China used as a provocation in order to get Congress to focus on our hemisphere, Is that in general happening? Is Congress freshly aware of the tensions in many of these countries?
John, I really wish that were the case. I followed this for about 20 years, and going back to the congressional hearings in 2005 regarding China's expanding role in Latin America, this has been on the radar of Washington, and yet the dedication of money and attention to correspond to that perceived Chinese influence has never quite made it in. There are some tools, the expansion of, for example, U.S. loans to try to channel private sector investment of, for example, the Development Finance Corporation, which was really brought on under the Trump administration, that continued with the Biden administration, other tools like the Inter-American Development Bank, certainly the hopes of dedicating more attention in projects, heightened public diplomacy by the State Department. And yet, I think the U.S. continues to struggle really to get it right. But what is clear, I think, is an attempt to try to be a better partner for Latin America, not to stop Chinese investment, but to try to channel it through greater transparency and stronger Latin American institutions so that they don't get taken to the cleaner, so to speak, by the Chinese companies.
Gordon, you have a question for the professor.
Evan, Latin America has been off the radar screen, as you pointed out. But obviously now with the problems at our southern border, it would seem that it would be in the interest of the United States to actually devote some attention to not only the Central American Northern Triangle, but other parts of the region as well. Do you think that there's going to be a change in our focus? Because it would seem to me that now is the time. And if it's not now, when would it be?
It's a great question, Gordon. My perception is that there is certainly attention. I see the State Department dedicating attention to the idea of responding to a pushing back against China. Certainly, Southcom is got it on the radar screen. The problem has been the dedication of resources and really kind of the fixing of some of the instruments that we have as a private market-oriented society to come up with viable alternatives. It's always going to be difficult for the United States without vehicles like the Chinese have with their communist parties to outbid China for Latin America. And so then the question becomes, especially in the chaotic politics of now, what are the viable alternatives or what are the ways that China can offer, the U.S. can offer a partnership, emphasizing the dangers of dealing with China, but in areas like 5G, where there are very risks to, sovereignty and Latin American privacy, in issues like infrastructure with our needs, what are the alternatives that the U.S. is able to provide in a viable, flexible fashion?
The article in the Miami Herald references the president of Mexico referring to the Kennedy-era Alliance for Progress, which was an initiative from Washington towards Latin America. I'm unfamiliar with the details, but it does describe that in the past there's been more attention to Latin America. Certainly in the 19th century, we both know the Organization for American States was a dream, and it came to truth in the first half of the 20th century. Is there a program now? We have a couple of minutes, Professor. Is there a program now underway that matches the scale of that engagement, Alliance for Progress?
Not at all, John. Certainly there have been thinking through, for example, initiatives like Build Back Better World that was not passed by the Congress. There have been attempts, again, through institutions like Development Finance Corporation to channel more private sector funding. Part of the issue has been the authorities and the number of political conditions that have been put on those type of programs, which have really made it more into a social program and prevented it from having the agility or the ability to be scaled up to the degree that it needs to, as you have Chinese SOEs pumping in money. And frankly, in things like infrastructure, there's been difficulties finding U.S. Companies that can get into the market space, let alone in areas like 5G. We've had some success, I think, in coordinating more effectively with like-minded democratic partners like the Japanese, like the Koreans, and like the EU, where we could not be in that space. And I think we've done a better job also in trying to have more data-based information about the relative performance of Chinese companies and whether those projects are ultimately in the interest of societies. But frankly, one of the other problems is Latin America is moving in a direction that in terms of more left-oriented governments thinking of status projects, and as private sector money may flee from that situation, the need to and the willingness of those governments to turn to the Chinese in a way from private market solutions becomes greater than ever.
And so what we have here is a story yet unwritten. Is that the way to see this, Evan? There are possibilities, but it's not happening now. We have a few seconds.
The United States continues to try to mobilize those capabilities, but both sides tend to continue to evolve. The Chinese continue to learn, and you know, the challenge in Chinese influence continues to expand in the area in which we are most intimately connected with respect to our prosperity and our security at the Western Hemisphere.
Professor Avenelis, U.S. Army War College, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. I'm John Bush.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.